Thank you, praise team. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, there can't be greater words than speaking of you, our God. You are a great God, and you have revealed yourself to us. And this morning, Lord, as we look and then we delve into your word, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts. You would challenge us to look anew and afresh at who you are. We give you thanks. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have two questions for you this morning. The first one is, what do you take for granted? The second question I have for you is, who do you take for granted? You know, it's so easy to take someone or something for granted. It's so insidious. It sneaks up on you. And before you know it, you are taking somebody or something for granted. Warren Wiersbe, in his book, God Isn't in a Hurry, he quotes Emerson, who said this, that if the stars only shone one night per year, everyone would stay up all night to behold them. But since they are out every single night, most of us, we don't even give them a thought. We don't even think about them. We take them for granted. You know, I try hard not to take Jackie for granted. For my own sake and our relationship's sake, I try not to. I try to be thankful for what she does. And I try to thank her for what she does. Not only just be thankful, but actually tell her that I'm thankful. But even in all my trying, it still happens. You want to know how I know? Well, when Jackie's mom was still living, each year Jackie would go to Michigan for about a week or so to spend time with her mom. And while she was gone, I would come to the stark realization that I had been taking Jackie for granted. I didn't want to, and I vowed to myself I wouldn't let it happen again. And the next year, Jackie would make her trip to see her mom, and I would realize I had done it again. You know, I think the same thing can happen when we talk about the Word of God. We have the Bible. We have it in our own language. We might have various and numerous translations at home. We might have hardback Bibles. We might have leather-bound Bibles. We might have digital Bibles. And we can take them so much for granted that we don't even open the cover during the week. A week goes by and you realize, oh, I didn't even read God's Word. It is the most precious thing that we can possess here on earth is God's Word. It's God's love letter. It's God's revelation of who He is. It's God's plan of redemption. It's how to become right with God. It's how to walk in fellowship with the Creator of this universe. It's how He wants us to please Him. It's how He teaches us how to interact with the unbelievers and with other believers. But not only can we take God's Word for granted, we can easily take God for granted. We can take His creation for granted. He made this world for us to enjoy. You realize He doesn't need this world. He doesn't need this universe. But He created it for us. But yet we can take it for granted. Sunrises and sunsets. We got beautiful ones here. It's easy over time to take those for granted. We can take our salvation for granted. We've been saved for a long time, and we can just kind of like lull along in life. Our fellowship with other believers, we can take it for granted. We can neglect meeting together as God instructs us to do in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. A couple weeks back in Sunday school, we talked about the four areas of prayer. Acts, A-C-T-S, not A-X, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And if your prayer life is missing adoration and thanksgiving, I'm telling you right now, you're taking God for granted. It's an indication. So today we're going to be spending our time centered on God. It's a great thing to talk about when we come to church, isn't it? is God. Let's do a little review. We introduced a new series last week called The Storyline of Christ. And in The Storyline of Christ, as we go through this study together, there's five themes or five chords. And we've put a color designation to these five different chords. The first one is gold, and that is of God. And there are some notebooks in the back if you want one. Some have them. You can use that. You can divide it up into these five different areas. And as we go through, you can take notes of what these different areas are. The first one is gold, and that is of God. The second one is green, and that's of man. The third one is black, and that is sin. The fourth one is red, and that's redemption. And the last one is purple, and it's called seasons, of how God interacts with his creation at different times throughout the Word of God. But as we go through the Word of God, we're going to be seeing these themes, these ribbons, if you will, these chords that will continue as we go through there. If you got your Bibles or your notebook and you're going to take notes, this is going to be a gold series message today. We're going to be talking about God today. We also learned last week that the Bible is God's record of how he interacted with his creation throughout time. And God is the central person of the Bible. It's his story. H-I-S, story. His story. Get it? Talking about God, man, sin, redemption, and the different seasons. The message title for today is Before the Beginning, God. The first four words of Genesis 1:1 are In the Beginning, God. These four words form the foundation for faith. If you believe these words, you can believe all that follows in the Bible. The Bible has a special name for those who choose to not deny the fact that there is a God. And that special word is, and that name is, fool. Psalm 14:1a says, The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool does not want there to be a God. Matter of fact, it's an irrational position to take. First of all, it's a claim that you are omniscient. It says, I know everything. It's not possible that a God could exist beyond the boundaries of my knowledge. The second is the attitude of omnipresence. It says, I'm present in all places at all times, and it's not possible for there to be a God that exists any place in the universe without my knowing it. It's irrational thinking. You see, an atheist, that is a person who does not believe there is a God, ignores the wonders of God in creation, the vastness of the universe, the amazingly precise movements of the planets, the marvelous suitability of Earth to sustain life, the intricate design of the human body, the fantastic complexity of the human brain, and the extraordinary properties of water and soil. You stop and you think you take some dirt and you take some water and you put a seed in there and something will grow. You can take a big planter and you can plant an oak tree in there and that oak tree can grow huge. And when it's all done, you can measure up the water or the dirt that you put in there at the beginning and almost all of it is still there and yet you have a tree. And how does that happen? It's because of God. Psalm 53:1a says the same thing that Psalm 14:1a says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we're going to answer the question today, who is God? We've heard people probably say, it's the man upstairs. Is that who he really is? What we know is that God has not hidden himself from man. He wants us to know him. We're going to look at 8 points today. The number one is, the Bible is God's revelation of himself in history. Genesis teaches us the foundational truths about God. We can't miss these. These are important. These truths are critical to understanding the rest of the Bible. And as we continue through the storyline of Christ, we have to have the foundation, a firm place where we can plant from and go from, and that is in God. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to look at some verses together because this is important. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 509. Jeremiah chapter 9 should be easy to find. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. They're big books. 150 verses, 31, or 150 chapters, excuse me. And you got 31 chapters, 12, 8. Isaiah's got 60. You can find it. Jeremiah, it's got 52 chapters of its own. But chapter 9, verse 23 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let no wise man boast of his wisdom, nor let the mighty man boast of his might, nor a rich man boast of his riches. But let the one who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. Let's stop right there. Did you hear what we just read? That he understands and he knows me. The word understand there is sakel. Jeremiah used this word to mean wisdom in terms of insight and comprehension. God wants us to have insight into who he is. He wants to have comprehension into who he is. And the wisdom of comprehension, guess what? Will open our eyes to the Lord. And God's desire is that man understands who he is. Not only are we supposed to understand him, but we're supposed to know him. This word know here is the word yada. It's far more than intellectual knowledge. This word yada is used in the intimate relations experienced by a husband and wife. They know each other so very well. It conveys the sense of a personal relationship and protection. God desires that we have a close and a personal relationship with him. He wants us to understand him and he wants us to know him. He wants us to have that close and personal relationship. You and God. He desires that. He wants that. And it also conveys the area of protection. You just think of a husband and wife relationship. If they are together as they should be, as God wants them to be, there's a protection against the sin because of their relationship being close and intimate. It's the same thing with our relationship with God. When we have a close and a personal relationship with God the Father, guess what? It's a protection for sin around us. We do not want to dishonor him in any way. So God desires. He wants us to know him, understand him, and have that close and personal relationship with him. Let's go on in verse 24. But let the one who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness on the earth. The word mercy there is hesed. Hesed. It refers to God's loyal love. It's interesting that the CSB says faithful love, ESV, steadfast love, KJV, loving kindness, NIV, kindness, NLT, unfailing love. It's referring to God's loyal love. He will stand by his commitment to his people. So not only does he exercise mercy or his loyal love, he exercises justice. This is a broad term that's pointed to governing justly. You know, we live in a country today that I fear that we don't have justice like we should. At least I get angry when I see it. And this justice here means that God would vindicate those who are innocent and punish those who are guilty. And he also says there that he will exercise righteousness. It conveys the idea of conforming to a standard or to a norm. You see, God wanted the conduct of the nation of Israel, the conduct of us, to be that of the standard of God himself. And I want you to look at the end of the verse there, what he says. Look what God says about mercy or love, justice and righteousness. For I delight in these things. God delights in those. So before we move on, let's look at this. Look at this little comparison here. Man strives for three things: his own wisdom, his own might, power or fame, and his riches. That's what man strives for. But look what God delights in. God delights in unfailing love, in justice, and in righteousness. You see, the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us. He is revealing who he is, that he loves unfailing love. He loves justice. He loves righteousness. He wants a personal, close relationship with us. That's our God. He wants us to understand him. Number two, all things had a beginning. Absolutely everything except God had a beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created." There was a specific beginning for all things. Before God created everything, nothing else existed. Time? There wasn't time. Space? There wasn't space. Basic elements? None existed. Only God. Everything had a beginning. Brings us to point number three. God is eternal. God lived, existed before the beginning of all things. Before anything existed, God was already there. Genesis 1:1 tells us that God existed. He was already there at the beginning when he began creating all things. Only God will have no beginning and no end. Psalm 14:1 talks that. Only fools say in their hearts there is no God. From God's perspective, only a fool would deny that he exists. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to the end, you are God. So we learn from this verse that there never was a time that God did not exist. We also learn from this verse that there will never be a time that God ceases to exist. God is eternal. He had no beginning. He will have no end. And I'll stand here before you today and I tell you, I can kind of fathom the idea of having no end. I can kind of fathom that. But the beginning, the no beginning thing, my human mind cannot wrap enough brain cells around that concept to come close to understanding that. But this is where faith comes in. By faith, I believe that God had no beginning because he said in his word that he is eternal. And God is completely independent of everything. He's completely independent of everyone. God doesn't need air to breathe. God doesn't need food to eat. He doesn't need water to drink. He doesn't need light. He doesn't need time. He doesn't need space. God is self-sufficient. He lives by his own power. We are dependent on other people, and we need many things. Would have I survived if it weren't for someone to care for me when I was a baby? Brand new 8-9-pound baby boy. Poof, you're on your own there, buddy. Good luck. Wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for somebody taking care of me. How long could we live without air? How long will we live without food or water? How many days could we rationally function without sleep? We are so dependent in so many things, in so many ways. But God does not need anything or anyone. So not only is God eternal, but God is spirit. God does not have a body of flesh and bones. God doesn't have a physical body like you and I have. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. He is a spirit being with his own mind, his own personality, and his own will. He is not an impersonal force in the universe. He is spirit. And for us who are physical, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around having a God who is spirit. But that's who God is. Fifthly, God is not limited by time and space. God is everywhere at the same time. Unless God revealed it to us, we could not have known where he is because we can't see God. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. It's a little longer passage, and we're going to have a couple of these today. But listen to this. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is hell, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Let me say it again. Surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God is everywhere at the same time. God is the only one who is always present. All of creation is limited by time and by space. God is uncreated, and therefore, because of that, he is not limited by time. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by anything else in creation. And this goes for the spirit world as well. The angels, they can't be everywhere at once. They are created, includes Satan and the demons. They cannot be everywhere at once. That is an attribute of God. God is not limited by time or space. Sixthly, God is a Trinity. There is one God, but there are three persons who are the one God. As we make our way through the storyline of Christ from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we're going to read various Bible verses that teach us that God is a Trinity. The three persons who are the one God are equal in every way. One isn't better than another. They are one God. They are equal in every way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Another area that we have to take by faith. We can't understand that. Doesn't make sense to us. But God says he is one God, three persons who are equal as one God. Seventh, God is sovereign over all creation. The word sovereign means supreme power, superior to all others. Because God alone existed before everything and everyone else, he is greater than all. He is greater than any force in the whole universe. He is greater than everyone and everything, including the spirit world. It's not like God's up there arm wrestling with Satan, and some days he wins and some days he loses. No, that's not how it is. Our God is not like that. He is greater than all. There can never be any person or any power that is greater than God. He is the supreme authority. The entire universe and everything in it, including all the spiritual powers and all of humanity, are subject to God's authority. And they are completely dependent upon him. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Psalm 147. Because here in 147 and some verses in 148, we're going to look at some things about God. Pew Bible, it's page 422 if you're looking there. Psalm's easy to find. It's a big section. Psalm 147, starting in verse 7. It says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. It is he who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass sprout on the mountains. It is he who gives an animal its food and feeds young ravens that cry. That's our God. Psalm 148. Shouldn't be far away. It's the next psalm, starting in verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly armies. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. They are to praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Verse 6. He also established them forever and ever. He also made a He has made a decree, and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters, and all the ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, animals and all cattle, crawling things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, rulers and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. They are to praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. That is our God. There is no one that can be compared to God. There is nothing that can be compared to God. He is far greater than everything we know. He is far greater than anyone that we know. Everyone. He is beyond our understanding. We cannot comprehend one who had no beginning and will have no end. We cannot grasp one who is never in need of anything. We cannot fathom one who sees everything and yet, because he is spirit, cannot be seen by the physical eye. We cannot figure out how it's possible for him to reside in heaven and yet always be everywhere. We cannot comprehend that three persons are the one God. God is far superior to anyone and anything. Kind of get amped up about this. Brings us to our memory verse. Our memory verse is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6. Jeremiah 10, 6 says, there is none like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Let's say it together. It's up on the screen if you want to take a look at it. Let's say it together. Jeremiah 10, 6. There is none like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. It's a great verse. A verse that we're going to be using over the next few weeks. The way that we describe God's infinite superiority over all is to say that he is sovereign. The Bible often refers to God as the Most High. Psalm 83:18 says, so that they will know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, and there is none, no one else. There is no one except me. I will arm you, though you have not known me. When it comes to the sovereignty of God, there's people that actually struggle with the idea of the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign, but yet he lets man do things. But that's our God. Jackie and I had the privilege of talking with a friend of ours a couple days ago. And he is struggling with the sovereignty of God. Because something happened years ago. Years. And today he is still bitter to God over that. Because he said God is sovereign, he could have changed that. But God is in his sovereignty decided not to. And he's struggling with that. We got to realize that God is sovereign. He is superior over everything. And he's superior over all of creation. Brings us to our last point. God alone, only God, can tell us how everything came into existence. Because God was the only one there before and when all things began, he is the only one that can tell us how everything started. If a journalist wanted to write a story about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, probably wouldn't be a good idea to come in here and ask a teenager, what do you think? That teenager was not there in Dealey Plaza on November 22nd of 1963. You know, they could have asked me. I was alive back then. But I wasn't in Dealey Plaza. But had I been in Dealey Plaza, I still wouldn't have been a good witness because I was 5 months old. But just as we depend on those who witnessed a certain situation to tell us what happened, we can depend on God telling us how everything had its beginning, because he's the only one that was there. So he really knows what took place. He saw. He was part. He was active in. And we're going to learn more about that as we go forward. But man has different theories of how the universe began. But they're only that. They are theories. These theories are contradicted by God himself, who was there in the beginning. Only God can give us the true account of what actually took place. It's not possible for me to do that. I wasn't there. I might be as old as dirt, but I wasn't there. We need to realize that the Bible is God's revelation of himself in history. That all things had a beginning, everything. That God is eternal. God is spirit. He's not limited by time or space. That he is a Trinity. God is sovereign over all creation. And only he can tell us what actually took place and how everything came into existence. We truly have a great God. A great song that we sang, "How Great is Our God." We have an unbelievable God. We have an awesome God. We can trust him. We can depend on him. If you've been taking God for granted, today is the day to stop. Today is the day to be reminded of who he is, of his awesomeness, of his graciousness to reveal himself to us in his word. Today is this day to start being a student of the word, to spend time with God, to get to know him better by reading the word of God, the Bible. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so grateful that you are an awesome God. There is no one like you. And yet, because of how great you are, you have revealed yourself to us through your word. We can read and we can learn about who you are, that you're a gracious, loving God, that you are spirit, that you are eternal, that you're a Trinity, that you had never had a beginning and you will have no end. You will never cease to exist. You are God. We bow before you this morning and say thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We can depend on God because he is the highest authority. Next week, we're going to see what he has to say about the beginning of all things. Have a great week pondering the greatness of our God. That he is eternal, that he is spirit, that he's not limited by time or space, that he is a Trinity, and that he is sovereign over all creation. Have a great week. You're dismissed.